swept technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Do you want prizes? Do you want free prizes? Of course you do. Well, enter ESPN 97.5's Bracket Madness. It's back, better than ever. It's brought to you by Golden Nugget Lake Charles, East River 9, and the Two Creeks Crossing Resort. That time of year, it's March, to test your knowledge against other listeners and all the hosts and producers at ESPN 97.5 in our Bracket Challenge. You just won't be competing for a perfect bracket either. There'll be a ton of great prizes from Two Creeks Crossing Resort, Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, Gooder Sunglasses, Nico Nico's True Lux, and much, much more. All you have to do, again, it's free. You can win some outstanding prizes. Why wouldn't you do this? ESPN975.com, promotions tab, ESPN975.com. Blank, did you fill out your bracket?
I did.
I don't think I legally can, so not Jeremy Branham just filled out his. I have Houston over Auburn. I have Texas Tech, and I have Alabama in my Final Four. What do you have?
I have Houston, Florida. Who did I do? Duke, Houston, Florida. I had three chalk, and then I had... The 1-2 seed I had was, I believe it was Texas Tech.
You said you had Florida?
Yeah.
Florida and Tech are in the same region.
Okay, so I had, it was in the bottom left-hand corner one that I had the, I think it was the 2 seed. I have to look it up.
That, yeah. So you went, you probably went Tech in the bottom left corner and then maybe Auburn in the top left corner?
I had Auburn getting upset.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I just don't believe in Bruce Pearl getting all the way there.
Okay. Brian, what round did you have Texas losing?
Tonight.
Oh, dang. All right, dude, who was your Final Four and champion?
It was pretty chalky. Duke, Houston, Texas Tech, and Michigan State, and I have my champion as Duke.
Okay. Michigan State and Texas Tech's pretty contrarian, though. Like, yeah, if those hit, you might win.
I've from everything you read, it's, you know, everyone expects, I mean, we just had Evan on. All the computer models show it to be a little bit chalky or way chalky, so I try to take just a tiny step back and not be too contrarian, but enough to give me some difference.
For what that's worth, that was not Jeremy Branham's bracket, by the way.
Yeah, you got great cover on that, by the way.
Not Jeremy Branham. Texter, I think the Astros would be lucky if they see Lance before June. See, I think he'll be back before June. Or he said July. I think he'll be back for July. My fear is that they lose him before the end of July. I think he will get back and pitch pretty soon into the season. I just don't think he's going to make this long, long, you know, 20, 25 starts. And maybe he's not even a starter. You know, Dana's mentioned him as a reliever. Now, Lance didn't love that talk.
He didn't want to do that.
He kind of, I don't want to say that he put an end to it because I don't know which way they're going to go. But it was very clear that he is not a proponent of the idea of him in the bullpen.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, he was completely against it no matter what Dana was thinking. And he even called Dana out in so many words by saying, I don't know where that came from. So, yeah, I think that in his mind, this is the progress being made on the step-by-step to get him back to starting.
Texter, he might be okay as long as they don't open up the dike's roof. Is he bad when the roof's open? I didn't know that.
I know he had the 1 year where he was really good on the road, and then the next year he had the really good at home, and who knows?
Yeah.
It's been so long.
And plus, like,
get there.
Is the dike, whenever the roof's open, and not that it's open very often, but does it play more as a hitter's park? Like, is it windy in the dike? I don't remember that.
I don't think so. I know it swirls. You can tell with the flags that it kind of does. It does swirl within the stadium and pushes it towards center. But I don't think it's like Wrigley Field or anything. Like, it's just, you know, this blowtorch to throw balls out of over the wall.
Like, it'd be warmer, of course, although they're not opening it up whenever it's warm outside. So I don't know. I'd be curious to know the ballpark factors when the roof's open versus closed. Everybody appreciates the hard work. Jeremy, spell my name, J-E-R-E-M-I-E. Everyone appreciates the hard work, Jeremy, but still no faith. My love is at a 2. Okay, you're a hater. You don't like love. That's fine. It's okay. Keith from L.A., the Astros got some mention this morning on the Dodger game because of all the ex-Astro players that play for the Cubs. They talked highly about Cam Smith. I actually heard that part, Keith from L.A., because I was awake for that. I saw the Shohei Homer, too, which might have been fan interference, by the way. It was weird because I don't love Przinsky. Przinsky was on the call.
What's his
partner's name? Adam Amin?
Adam Amin, yep.
I like Adam Amin. But Adam Amin was like, yeah, he's having a decent spring training. When he talked about Cam Smith, I'm like, what?
Decent?
Decent? What do you don't know ball, Adam. You're not paying attention.
He's just doing too many Bulls games.
Yeah, he's probably unaware. He probably heard that he's having a good spring training and didn't know how good, so he just kind of like, you know, took the easy way out, which I get it. I understand. But, yeah, he's not that familiar with how good Cam has been in spring training so far. Texter, I really hope our pitching gets us to the playoffs this year because we got rid of two of our best two hitters. Okay, I don't think that Yordan Alvarez is off the team. Yordan's a better hitter than Tucker and Bregman, mm-hmm. IMO. Tucker, I'd give Tucker the second best hitter on the team. Bregman, is he third best hitter? Yeah, maybe.
Probably.
Maybe. Him or Altuve?
No, Altuve. I think Altuve.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty similar at this stage of their career. Yeah, but they're going to have to get – I'm actually okay with their offense. I think their offense has a chance to be pretty good. Whenever you go Altuve, I think they're going to go Isak in the two-hole. I think Yordan's going to bet third. I don't love it, but I think they will. Walker, when he's healthy, four. Yiner, five. Pena, probably six. And then who cares about the rest of the order? I think that offense has a chance to be better than people think.
I would agree with you. Look, I believe that this offense is fully capable. I mean, I know that I've been harping on the bottom half of the bottom third of the lineup, but I just believe that there are still options that this offense is going to be very, very good. I still think the pitching is solid too, but I'm not going to turn my back on this offense and say that they're going to be that much worse than they were a year ago.
Texter says, I do think the pitching will be the strong suit for what it's worth, but I think the offense is going to be better than people think.
It's also
but maybe
significant
I'm just a homer,
the amount of games that Tucker missed last year to say, well, he really wasn't in the lineup for a majority of the year, so yeah. It's not saying it was that big of a drop-off.
Yeah, he missed half the year. Yeah. Just after your Texter saw your TikTok about the Astros uniforms, and I agree. Look at that. Look at me. TikTok and bringing people into the station. How about that? You can follow me on TikTok at Jeremy J. Brown. I'm in.
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
No, not to get clicks, to get listeners, John. It's to get listeners. But do you see those new City Connects? I think they're great.
Yeah, I did.
I think they're awesome. What do you think?
I actually liked them. I hated the softball uniforms that they used to have. I really, really like these. The hat, the A is a little big for me. It kind of gives me an Arizona Diamondback vibe a little bit. So I like the kind of the design of the hat, the colors of the hat. Maybe would have had an orange bill on it if I'm getting picky. But I just think that A is really big. But the uniform itself, so much better than the softball uniforms with the Space City jerseys and uniforms. I really like a lot of it. And I was a bigger fan than I thought I was going to be when they kind of were starting to sneak out some of these sneak peeks.
Give me a 1 to 10.
I will give it a 7.5.
I gave it a 9.6.
Ooh, that's high.
I love them. Like, these things are awesome. I like them a lot. I think they're really good. The two nitpicks that I have, mm-hmm. and these are very small nitpicks, I wish it would just say Astros across the chest. Like, it feels Same. Kind of like
really?
It feels kind of like create a uniform not allowed to use the MLB copyright type of deal. Whenever you go Stros versus Astros, like, it's small ding for that. That's why I didn't get a 10 for these two small reasons. I guess I dinged them 2/10 of a point for each one. But it just feels kind of like create a team. Don't have the licensing of the league. So instead of going Astros, we have to put Stros.
I can see that.
So like that one, I just wish there was the A in front of it. And then the other thing on the belt loop, it says HTX,
yes.
And I hate HTX over HOU.
I do too.
So I dinged them some points for that. Other than that, though, 9.6, I love these things. I think they're awesome.
Yeah, I really like them, and I think they're cleaner, and I think that they still have a lot of the tradition. I think a lot of people don't realize that blue on the sleeve is actually like the surface of the moon in the blue that's in there as well. The patch on the sleeve that is kind of like a mission in space, I think that's cool as well. Yeah, my biggest thing was the hat, because I'm always a hat guy, and I'm always looking for that, and I just thought that A on the front was way too big and kind of looked like an Arizona logo.
Now, but these are a throwback set. I think they've worn this hat before.
No, the hat before did not have the star on the inner portion of the A, the old Astros star,
so
that
with star.
The blue and gold. Yeah, so the A and the shape of that A was used way, 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 way back, but not that star.
Was the size?
No, I think it was smaller.
It was smaller?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually like the A. Like, I think the A's pretty cool, and I like that they added the star in there, too.
I like the kind of, like, the combination of the two. I just wish it would be a little bit more smaller on the front of the hat. I think it's almost too big. It looks like you're working at a fast food joint as opposed to kind of, like, the right size for the front of the hat.
It does kind of look like the American Deli logo. No, I think you've heard of American Deli? People
no,
love their
no.
wings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is it does kind of look like the American Deli logo. Google American Deli and look at their logo. It's a little similar. The American Deli is a little more rounded, but there's kind of a star in the middle. Like, there's some similarities to the American Deli.
Yeah, I just got the fast food feel with the size of the A.
Now, as soon as you said that, I thought of American Deli. There is some similarities to American Deli's logo in the A's hat. That's funny. 713-780-ESPN. What was your ranking of it, Brian? Joel was 7.5. I'm a 9.6, which I'm usually not that positive.
In the middle, I liked it a lot, too. I actually didn't mind the last set of the City Connects, but I do like this one better. I give it an 8.5.
I hated the old ones.
I did, too.
I didn't mind them.
Hated them.
I didn't
they grew on me a little bit more. I liked them a little bit more at the end of their run than I did when they unveiled them. But I
liked
like
the hat
4-8.
More than the jersey, but I liked it overall.
Yeah. Yeah, the hat was cool. The hat was pretty cool. Texture, as long as we don't run Jake and McCormick out there every day together, the offense will be fine. I think that they will. I think they will for
now,
a good part of the year. Did you hear what Espada had to say about Altuve,
yes,
too? He said Altuve is going to get most of his starts in left field. So, like, that kind of – I think it's kind of a clue that you're probably starting Chaz and Jake. Maybe not a clue of Chaz and Jake, but it's a clue that you definitely will not have an outfield of DeCenzo and Cam Smith because now there's not room for both of them.
Well, and then DeCenzo got – all jacked up with a line drive off his face yesterday. So
they say he's supposed to play tomorrow, though.
It was weird, too, because if you watched it and you said you watched the I was watching it. I was looking for a replay with a close-up where I could see where it actually hit his face, and the shin didn't really have it. They just had, like, the live-action play where you couldn't really tell where it hit him, but I guess it was close to his ear. But I was like, well, that screws up any thought of the possibility of him playing some outfield and maybe making this team with some outfield in his future. But if you say he's going to be ready and he'll be okay in the next couple of days, that'd be great.
The texture, the A on the original prototype was a similar size to the new hat.
If someone on our Twitter feed posted a photo, I'll send it to you guys,
okay,
of what the texture is talking about. And I do see a large resemblance to what they went with this City Connect.
With a resemblance to what? The old school one?
Yeah, the old school one.
That's exactly what I thought. And Jeremy, I looked up American Deli. It looks like a combination between McDonald's and St. Louis. It looks like the St. Louis arch with a McDonald's M and that star going through it. But, yeah, I see, don't you think
there's some similarities?
A little bit, especially with the star going across.
Like the size and the star.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's some similarities there. 713-780 ESPN texture, what?
No, my final four, I had Michigan State was my two. The two that got in there. So it's Michigan State, Florida, Duke, and Houston.
I think you picked all the guys that I picked, all the teams that I picked. Texture, you guys don't sleep on St. John. St. John's hard for me to get a good gauge. Like, I think they're really good. Their defense is elite. Number one, KenPom defensive efficiency. I think Rick Pitino's Hall of Fame coach, obviously. I think there's a chance they could get upset in round two.
I think
Kansas or Arkansas could get them. Like, to me, their range is eliminated in the second round. I do think that they're Final Four good, though. Like, I think that they're capable of getting that. I think they could beat Florida in a regional final. But I could also see them losing in round two to Kansas, Arkansas. I think Texas Tech would get them in the Sweet 16.
See,
so I think there's a lot of games that they can lose along the way. I think they're capable. I think they're good enough to do it. But I think there's a lot of games they can lose along the way.
See, where I was plus side is the coaching, the ability to adjust on the fly. Pitino's been there and done that in just about everything to where nothing's going to surprise him. But I just feel like they're good team defense, they're good team offense. But if they run up against a team that has a couple of standout stars, I just don't know if they're going to go punch for punch with them and be able to slow them down. And so I think they're definitely on upset alert as the tournament goes deeper.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. What if I told you this guy was the Rockets' future point guard? It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. There's been a lot of chatter about the Rockets' point guard of the future. You know, people don't think that it's Fred VanVleet. Even if Fred VanVleet's on this team, you start having conversations like, who's the future of the Rockets' point guard position? And for a while, it was like pretty easy, and Min Thompson's just going to be that guy. I think I like Amin Thompson playing off the ball a little bit more. Like, he's capable. Like, he's capable of being the point guard. I don't mind him doing it sometimes. I don't know if I love him as the starting point guard, though. I kind of like him in the dunk spot a little bit more. I like him as a forward more than I like him as a point guard. Maybe even point forward. But what if I told you the Rockets' future point guard is Jalen Green? How would you feel about Jalen Green as the Rockets' future point guard, Blankers?
I don't like it. I don't
why
like
not?
It.
Tons
I don't,
of assists
I'm
going to
tell you why not. I don't like it because of the fact that I still see a guy that turns the ball over. He gets turnover happy. He makes bad decisions. Sometimes he still gets selfish with the ball. And I think that overall, I don't know that he has the mentality to play point guard unless it's a shoot-first point guard. And I'm sometimes hesitant about his ball handling, but more so than anything else, it's his decision-making that makes it cringe-worthy for me. I don't feel comfortable that he's there yet to lead. We saw it when Fred was out, too. Like, I need someone that's going to take care of the basketball and make the right decisions, especially in the fourth quarter down the stretch in crunch time.
Yeah, we disagree on his selfish nature. Like, it's not worth rehashing that,
no.
But I would say he's not selfish. I do think that he can be a little mistake prone. I would agree with that. Rockets have won 7 games in a row here. And we're talking about the future. We're not talking about right now. We're talking about in the future. The Rockets have won 7 games in a row. And you know, they haven't beaten great teams, but they've won 7 games in a row. During this 7-game winning streak, Jalen Green 3 times either matched his previous season high or surpassed it in assists. He's had 2 8-assist games in the 7-game winning streak in the win against Philly, where he did have the luxury of playing the overtime period. He had 13 assists, career high in that game. In this 7-game winning streak, Jalen Green's averaging almost 6.5 assists per game. His turnovers are 2, which that's not awful. I mean, you get a 3-to-1 turnover to assist or assist to turnover ratio, and in fact, it's a little higher than 3-to-1. That's not bad. Like that's pretty good. A little over 3-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. So I think over the last 7 games that I rather see Jalen Green as the future point guard of the Houston Rockets than Amin Thompson. And a lot of this because I like Amin Thompson off the ball. I think it puts him in a better position for offensive rebounding where I think he's really good, slashing to the basket where I think he's really good. Jalen Green is kind of the focal point of this offense when you're not dumping it into the post anyways. He kind of brings the ball up or at least initiates the offense anyways. I think Jalen Green's more likely to be the future point guard of the Rockets than it is Amin Thompson.
Yeah, I think Jalen's the 2. I feel more comfortable with him.
Is Amin the 1?
No, I'm not sold on Amin being the 1 either. I think that, you know, again, I what I like most about the versatility within the way Ime likes his offense is that there is no clear-cut point guard unless Fred is on the floor when because he likes to preach that he wants to get him out in transition. He wants to get him in the open floor, and then you've got a lot of guys that can handle the ball. Where I'm a little bit cringeworthy is both with Amin and Jalen in terms of if they start picking up three quarters court or they start trying to put some pressure on the ball, I don't feel comfortable that they're going to be able to not only control the ball but get them in the right situation offensively. So I think ideally for me, I feel like Amin is more that 3-4 for me. Jalen's definitely the 2 because I think it puts him in his comfort zone. Like, he doesn't have to worry about the extra stress and pressure and making decisions. He just gets in his spot. Someone gets him the ball. And yet on the break, he can still be a guy that leads the break with the ball in his hands. And that's where I think he's most comfortable and I'm most comfortable with him in this offense.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you said. But he's been pretty good at decision-making lately.
I mean, look, I lately, yes. Overall, though, and I've cited some of them in the past, but I need to see more of that kind of play when you're playing good opponents and in crunch time. And yet, even still with that, I would feel better about Jalen Green. I still don't want Jalen Green to be my point guard.
I just said I wanted him more than Amin.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's fair. Because, look, I think Amin, again, what people fail to realize is it's one thing to say a guy can lead the break when you get in transition. But to say point guard means you can handle all aspects of playing that position, which is when you're pressured, when it's half-court sets. You know, when it's critical times in the game, and I don't feel comfortable with either one of those guys being my primary ball handler.
I would cite the ball pressure as the biggest hole in this argument, because I agree that he's not, like, fantastic when he's being pressured that heavily. But in this 7-game stretch, man, this guy's been pretty good, this Jalen Green guy. He's been all right. He's been pretty good, averaging 21 a game, just under 6.5 rebounds a game, just under 6.5 assists per game. Is he on another heater, or is this Jalen Green maturing right before our eyes? And look, the shooting's going to be the shooting, but the rebounding uptick, the assist uptick, like, that's not heater type of stuff. That's kind of involvement in your game, like, I think.
I think it does show maturity. He's settling in, and he understands, especially in the system he's playing in, that it could do a whole hell of a lot of good for himself and his team if he also focuses on the defensive end, but primarily on rebounding, on doing some of the other things that not only fills up the line score for him, but it makes his team more effective on both ends of the floor. He's fully capable. He has all those tools. It's just, I don't want to say frustrating, but it is to a certain degree that it's bothersome that we're still trying to figure out, like, what's his best fit, because we're still trying to figure out how good he can be, because he has all the tools. I'm not going to say that he doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, are we arguing about his best fit?
Not arguing, like, but it's like,
yeah, he's kind of a two, maybe can be a combo one, but like, that's kind of his role.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm more comfortable, and I think he's in his comfort zone when he's at the two.
Right. I do too, but I don't mind him as the combo one. Like, can you do it all the time? You're probably right that you need a guy who's a sure-handed ball handler whenever the other teams are going to put a little pressure on you. And if Jalen Green is your primary one, he is going to see a lot of pressure, because why wouldn't you put a lot of pressure on him? But I'm like, he's always going to be a streaky shooter. Like, I think that's never going to change. I think he's always going to be a streaky shooter, so he's going to have a few games. He's going to have stretches where he, like, scores 14 a game. But if this rebounding uptick can be for real, like, I don't even need him to average 6.5, but if he can be at 5 rebounds, 5 assists a game, that to me is easier to tolerate the streakiness from, like, his poor shooting at times. He's not a poor shooter. He's just streaky. Right. But whenever he's having the bad streak and he's averaging 5, 5.5 rebounds, 5, 5.5 assists, playing good defense, okay. Like, that's the type of player I need you to be if you're not going to be a consistent shooter. And I don't think he's ever going to be a consistent shooter.
No, and that's the key. Like, from a maturity level, from a maturity status for him to understand how he can best leave his impact on any game. If the shot's not falling, get to the basket. Get others involved. Do the things that you're talking about, plus what I've always said, which is, if you're not shooting the ball well, you have so much talent around the basket, driving the ball with the – you can get to the free throw line. You can finish it around the rim. You can fly. You can hang. You have so many different ways that you can impact the game offensively if your shot's not falling. So I think from the maturation process of Jalen Green, I think that those are all positive signs that he's getting – others involved, that when it's not falling for him, there are other ways he can impact the game. And I'm never going to question his talent. Now, from the Amen Thompson side of things too, I think that we both agree that his ball handling is not great. So I think that the first and foremost thing, we hear all this stuff about him, he's a gym rat and he's constantly working on it. First thing he had to fix was his jump shot. And it ain't fixed, but it's better. And I think that's where all of his focus when he's not in practice is. But I think at a certain point, he's got to focus on ball handling, because that's long-term one of the things they're going to count on him for.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's long-term a point guard.
But even in this system, if we think Ime is going to be here, his ball handling is going to be counted on whether he's a point guard or not, because a lot of times he's leading the break. And we know that they believe in his ability to pass and they believe in his ability to see the floor. He's got to be able to take care of that basketball if he's going to do those kind of things, whether it's on the break or not. And I think that's where he's at some point he's going to have to kind of hone that in a little bit more.
See, I think he's a great ball handler for a four. I don't think
he's
a very good ball handler for a one.
That's my point.
I think that's kind of why I like him more as a four.
Yeah.
And I'm not really as worried about him in the break. It's more whenever he's doing the isolation and trying to get, which I like him in isolation, but that's whenever he gets the turnovers, I think, is whenever they space the floor one-on-one, driving to the basket, either somebody's poking it away or he's just losing it because it's sloppy.
Or he zones in, like, going one direction and doesn't feel the guy coming from behind, doesn't protect the ball well enough to if a guy does decide to double, and then the live ball turnover happens, which is a killer. So those are the things he's definitely got to get better at.
Texter says, I think Reed is still the future at point guard. Alpi and Jalen can still be distributors. I don't see Reed as a point. I think he's more of a undersized shooting guard.
Yeah, I mean, I think ideally they would like Reed to be a point guard going forward that can shoot it better than most. And I think ideally, not that he's ever going to get to the Steph Curry level, but that ultimate combo guard that can do both really well. But I lean on him being right now, as a guy from what I've seen, as being just a shooter. I mean, I don't know he's got it from we talk about Jalen maturing, but that's a lot of just learning how he fits in and how he can best help the team. From the maturation process of Reed, I got to see him get physically stronger. I've got to see his ball handling improve more, and I got to see him on the floor.
Yeah, I just haven't seen much NBA point guard out of him. Like, I can see him as an NBA shooting guard, maybe not a great one, but I can see him playing the shooting guard at the NBA level. Point guard, not so much. I just haven't seen it yet.
I think that's part of it, right? I think that I don't care what he's done in the G League or at Kentucky. I have to see what he can do on an NBA floor, and part of that is can he handle the physicality? Can he handle the ball? And can he shoot the ball? Because even his shooting is not what we thought it was going to be when they drafted him.
Yeah, I think I still believe in him as a shooter. He hasn't lived up to it with his percentages. The production has not been there. You're absolutely right. I still believe in that as his best strength, his best skill. But he really didn't even play the point guard at Kentucky. Like, he was kind of off the ball at Kentucky for the most part. So, that guy's the future point guard? I don't see it. Yeah,
Cal did some really quirky things there, too, where he wasn't starting Wagner. He did a lot of quirky things with that
team.
Well,
yeah, I mean, Reed and Dillingham came off the bench.
Or Dillingham, there you go, yeah.
Yeah, they both came off the bench. Yep, now freshmen, and they still played a lot of minutes and all that, but yes, it was quirky. But I think Dillingham played the point more often than Shepherd did.
I think he did.
Yeah. I stole this from Scott Van Pelt. Is this a real true TV show or not? 713-780-3776 if you want to play along. SVP was really funny, but hopefully none of you watched it because we're going to steal it and do it now. We can do that because we're all ESPN. It's all one big family. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville is the best in the business at getting your hair back. He does so many things so well right here in the medical center. He can do anything from Botox, spa treatments. He can do plastic surgeries. But where I have personal experience is the NeoGraft procedure and PRP treatments to get your hair back. They are phenomenal. They work, and you could be the next in line to absolutely reap the benefits and get the exact things that I'm talking about, because he's going to give you a free consultation with him and his staff. It normally costs $150, but you're listening to me now. You want to see what he can do for you? All you got to do is go to 975hair.com right now. Sign up for a free consultation. The consultation is free. I had one. I went in. Basically, they explained to you what the NeoGraft procedure is. The NeoGraft procedure is essentially taking places on your scalp where you're never going to lose your hair. Genetically, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. He takes some of that hair from those places, puts it where you need it most. Maybe it's your hairline in front or that bald spot up on top and back. And you see the results almost instantaneously. The follicles are going to be there. You can see them in the mirror. And in 6 to 9 months, when they have a chance to actually settle in and get stronger and longer, you're going to see unbelievable results. And because he's taking it from a spot where you're never going to lose your hair, you're never going to lose this hair for the rest of your life. It's phenomenal. The procedure is great. It's painless. And I can't tell you enough how I encourage you to at least get all the details to see if you might consider it. PRP treatments, it's like fertilizing your lawn. We've heard about PRP for elbows and knees and athletes. It also works with your hair. And the PRP treatments can get you more a stronger, longer, better looking a hair follicle just by doing the treatments. It's fantastic. They'll explain everything to you. Like I said, just get that free consultation. There's no commitment to be made, money out of pocket, or signing on the dotted line. It's just an informative session where you think if Doc Linville can help you, you get all the answers you need. Go to 975hair.com and tell them I sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, so I stole this from Scott Van Pelt. Apparently they do this every year during the NCAA tournament. Is this a real-life show on True TV? Blankers, you chuckled. Did you see this?
I did not click on the link because I actually had the same idea that we should do something like this, but I did see that Stanford Steve, I think we're going to go through it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I didn't provide the link because I didn't want to ruin the game.
Good deal.
But, I mean, I'm just straight up stealing this from them. They had five different, I guess it was five different quadrants where I'm going to give you multiple choice here, A, B, C, D. One of them is a real-life true TV show, and the other three are not, courtesy of Scott Van Pelt. I keep saying Van Pelt, like he's orange juice. Van Pelt and Stanford Steve so, on SportsCenter because we're ESPN. We can do this. We can straight up steal it.
Are
we
the other three? Are the SVP. Other three in these groups real shows, but on other networks, or completely made up?
I don't know if I want to tell you that.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to tell you that. But I'm going to give you multiple choice A, B, C, D. You can play along at home, Hive, 713-780-3776, or from your mother's basement if you're a Twitcher. And then you're going to tell me which one is the real true TV
show. A fat guy
okay?
in his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
Thank you, Nikki. Blankers, I guess y'all can go back and forth here. Blankers, then Brian, then Blankers, and then you guys can play for a hug or something. All right, so first one, all right, there's five
Jeez,
of these.
I'll pass
too. Five, why, you don't, why, what do you, y'all hate love. Y'all hate intimacy.
She's not a hugger.
You have, I don't think I've ever hugged either one of you. Yeah, I would. I would do it.
No, you wouldn't.
You definitely I would do not it. Give off the vibe that
no, you're posturing right now.
I am. I'm totally bluffing because I know that y'all wouldn't do it either. All right,
to do
A,
film study
first
like
one.
Jeremy Branham. No. Trying to make everybody think that you know ball.
Yeah. 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 He didn't say posture there, does he?
No. Or did he? Yeah. It would make it better, but still fun.
Here you go. All right. This is option. This is our first one. There's five of these. Option A is name that Belgian. B, cocaine or Ozempic. C, Sister Jean's jeans. And D, the Carbonaro effect. Blankers, you're going first.
I actually know this one.
I'm going to say the Carbonaro effect.
Joel is correct.
Okay. All right. Good job. All right. You are one for one. Congratulations. Well done, both of you. Let's move into number two here. A, Chief, Bud, or Sport. B, Bobcat Goldthwait's Misfits and Monsters. C, the Beekeeper's Wife. D, Love is Deaf. Brian, it's your turn to go first.
Oof, yeah, I don't know this one. Though I think I've heard of Bobcat having a show like this, though. I guess it could be on a different network. I'm going to go Bobcat.
My initial reaction is that Brian would be intrigued by the Beekeeper's Wife.
I thought about picking that just because of the Jason Statham
and
thing.
Then,
yes.
Yes, and then realistically, the what is it, Love is Deaf?
Deaf.
Deaf, yeah.
Oh, Love is Deaf.
I don't have any of that. We know.
Oh, I thought it was Death. Okay, because that sounds like I'll go Love is Deaf.
All right, Brian got it right. It's Bobcat Goldthwait's Misfits and Monsters.
You got an impression?
I used to, but I forgot. It's been okay. So long since he's been relevant.
It's been a while.
Who, that's
sure.
Bobcat? I've never even heard of Bobcat. This is, like, y'all know
he's
him?
A comedian.
Yeah. He's a comedian, and like, and... a kind of a bigger guy. He does that high, shrill, like, whiny voice like Joel's doing. Yeah.
I
kind of a little tamer Sam Kinison. Not as volatile as Sam Kinison.
I've just Googled him, and this is the first time in my life I've ever seen this guy.
Oh, really?
I did not know who this was.
In the MTV world, he and Sam
really?
Kinison.
Really? I watch a little MTV. Yeah, I don't recognize this guy, this Bobcat, whatever.
He was in some movies.
So Brian's
he's
got
like Pauly Shore, too, with some stuff, because they're both comedians.
I don't know about the
Pauly Shore comparison,
really
other
don't.
Than the timeline when they were relevant.
Yeah, I worked with a comedian, so I was well-versed in who was working with who and that they were both comedians.
Adam Clayton?
No.
Yeah, Charlie Palillo is pretty dang funny.
Charlie
Palillo is hilarious.
Dry humor.
First in, first
on. Question three, number A here, you can do better. B, Bang My Bongo. C, Corn Cops. D, Inside the NDA. Which one is a real true TV show?
I'm going to go with You Can Do Better.
B-Mac?
I think Joel is correct.
How do y'all know these shows? Y'all are both right. Yes,
are,
You Can
no
Do
offense,
Better.
No pun in this one, but the other titles are just too corny.
Some of the titles are out there, yeah.
Okay. All right, two to one. Actually, 3-2. Brian's leading by one over Blankers. Here's question number four.
Oh.
A, Costco free sample kitchen. B, pimp my duplex. C, hack my life. D, Venmo transfers gone wrong.
What was the second and third one again?
Thanks for listening. Second one was pimp my duplex. The third one was hack my life.
I think Hack My Life is a series somewhere else. I'm going to go Pimp My Duplex.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I thought Pimp My Duplex because people love these DIYs
DIY, yeah.
And all these, like, you know, refurbished the house things. So I would say that.
It's Hack My Life.
Damn, I was right there. Okay.
I was with you that it was either 2 or 3.
I thought it was a real show. I just wasn't sure what network.
Based
on
titles, it was 2 or 3.
So Brian gets Brian's up 1. I'm going to change the rules since it's my game. Brian, you're going to go first on this one as well to give Blankers a chance to tie it up.
I like that you said it was your game after stealing it from SVP.
That's a very good point. Well played.
Yeah, touche. But it's my game more than it is y'all's.
Okay, that's fair.
I have that going
that's
for me.
Fair.
Question 5. A, 101 places to party before you die. B, goatee of yesteryear. C, deep fried turkey disasters. D, Marshawn Lynch's yeast mode.
I think the turkey disasters might be real, but I'm pretty sure it's number 1, the places to party before you die.
See, that was going to be my choice, but I have to try. This is the last question?
Yeah, last one.
Yeah, so, yeah, to win, you have
so
to pick something else.
With, I'm going to go with – what are my other choices? What,
B, goatee of yesteryear. C, deep fried turkey disasters. D, Marshawn Lynch's yeast mode.
I'm going to go Marshawn Lynch's yeast mode.
I hope you're right.
No, that is not a real show, but wouldn't it be great?
Because he's Marshawn in acting Lynch already.
That would have been, yeah,
been capitalize on
real.
That and give him a show just because it's entertaining. Because he's going to drop
well,
some kind of...
he's just yeasting up some sourdough.
Well, he's going to just drop some inappropriate
hey,
language.
Hey, guys, make some rye bread today.
Yeah, that'd be so funny if he was just yeasting it up all the time. No, Brian was right. It was 101 places to party. Before you die. Thank you, SVP, for providing, and Stanford Steve, for providing that that show. Because this is the only time of year anybody watches True TV. Do y'all watch True TV at any other time of the year?
Not a single time.
I didn't even know I have it.
What's the Impractical Jokers? They do a lot of Impractical Jokers marathons that I'll watch some of that.
The only time I watch that is whenever it's like on after I leave the TV on from watching college basketball.
Late night and stuff like that, if I can't sleep. Impractical Jokers, if there's nothing else on, ain't bad.
I think I watched Impractical Jokers once a year, and it's in March, whenever I fall asleep watching the late game on True TV, and I wake up at 3:30 to turn off the TV, and it's Impractical Jokers. That's all
I think
there.
It'd be fun to try that sometime.
To joke people?
You'd like to have a couple of buddies, and then you're in their ear, and you tell them what they got to try and get them to say.
It would
be. That would be fun.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it for TikTok, at Jeremy J. Branham. We can do it. We can do it. I'm a content guy.
Yes, you are.
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
I'm going on with the bench tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, good.
They're having me on to talk Houston basketball. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be weird. 9:30. I'm going on with the bench.
Our beloved Cougs.
Yeah, is Granato going to blast me? I guess I'm not fired, though. That's good. Like, because I was a little worried going off the air yesterday if I was going to get axed by Granato. Or is Monday. So the fact that I'm going on with him, I think, is good for job preservation. But or maybe he's going to fire me on the air for the content. Tune in at 9:30 tomorrow to see if Granato fires me live on the air. Is it a mistake by the Vikings to say no to Aaron Rodgers? And the Lions NFL proposal, kind of like this thing. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Allstate Siding and Windows. Look, go to allstatesidingandwindows.com and see all the different ways they can help you. But that website is going to lead you through to get the best in the business when it comes to siding and it comes to windows and it comes to all the different ways that they can help you and your house. How do I know? Because my wife and I, we bought a house about a year and a half ago, and we wanted to do something to upgrade it. We wanted to do something that made the house look better and give it more curb appeal, but more so than anything else, we wanted to do something that would actually give it more energy savings, do more for the house as well, and the contents of the house, like us and our furniture and everything else. And Allstate Siding and Windows were great because they come to you and do free estimates. They're going to come to you and tell you, hey, based on when your house was built, based on all the details that we see and you've given me about your house, we're going to tell you that the products that we have that best suit your house, your structure, and if it's a one level, a two level, kind of the designs in the rest of the neighborhood, all those kind of things factor in. But we got new windows. The curb appeal went up immediately. It was absolutely fantastic. And then once we got the curb appeal up, we found out and had the windows installed that our energy bills went way down, saved about 30 to 40% on our energy bills. It was absolutely fantastic from that regard as well. And then from the standpoint of going from all the different weather that we deal with in Houston, hurricane safe and protected. These windows are tough. They're durable. They're going to do everything for you when you need them most. And then from the standpoint of the weather changes, from the unbelievable heat in the summertime, it's going to keep your air conditioning and cool inside the house, and it's not going to escape. And then in the wintertime, when it does occasionally get cold, it's going to keep the warmth inside. But everything is locked in for you because it's a company you can trust that's been in Houston for about 50 years. All you got to do is call them, 832-204-1936. Come on, tax season. When you get that tax refund and you're looking to do something to upgrade the overall house and structure that you own in your biggest investment, call them and see how they can help you. 832-204-1936. Right now, 30% off all windows, $2,500 off a complete siding job. Not only do you save in that way, but if you call them and mention ESPN 97.5, they'll give you added savings because they love us and they love the fact that we're talking to you. Check them out today, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We were going to talk about Rodgers and the NFL, but we do what the people want, and it is March, so kind of basketball-y. Texter, Reed's a rookie, give him another year in an offseason. That's fine. I just don't think he's a point guard, though. Like, I'm not quitting on Reed. Just don't trust him as a point guard. Ocho, I had to adjust all my brackets after learning that Keyshawn Gilbert would be out the entire tournament. I had Iowa State going deep in multiple brackets. Yeah, I wish they were healthy because I think they could have went very deep if they were healthy. I still wouldn't sleep on them, though. Like, they're still good. I know Lipsy was hurt in the Big 12 tournament. I think he's going to be okay, though. They're still going to be a tough out. They play good defense, good offense, all that. Milan Mantilovic, maybe the most fun name to say in college basketball. Texter, amazing comedic beef. Jerry Seinfeld historically hates Bobcat. I did not know that, but also didn't know who Bobcat was. So I'm going to take the Seinfeld side on that. Where are you stand, Blankers?
I'm a Seinfeld
or
guy.
Bobcat.
Yep, so I've seen Jerry do his stand up a couple times. He's I'm a fan.
I'm surprised that you like Seinfeld.
Why? I like
the
show.
Just, it doesn't align with your sense of humor.
I don't know. I mean, I've always enjoyed the show Seinfeld, and I always thought it was funny. My wife and her brother just recite every line from it. I'm not that guy, but I always enjoyed the show.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's probably my second favorite ever sitcom. My first favorite is Curb Your Enthusiasm, which are both Larry David joints. So I think I have a type. Dell loves True TV, says a texter. Shows like Big Trick Energy and Hardcore Pawn. Should we believe the texter? Is Dell a big trick energy and hardcore pawn guy?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to call BS on that text.
Yeah, I'm going to say everyone. I'm going to say that he's definitely more with Michael Carroll and all the ways they're always talking about.
No, that does remind me that I actually have watched a True TV show because it was I haven't watched it in a decade, but I used to watch Hardcore Pawn.
Really?
Yeah, because there was a time where
the pawn
stars got massively, you know, popular, and I kind of got on that trend, and so I started watching that one as well.
I like
how young are you guys? Go ahead, Brangers. Go ahead.
I like the pawn shop ones, like the Vegas pawn shop and the Detroit one.
That's Pawn Stars.
Yeah,
Lisa
and I would watch those because, like, the people that would try and start fights in the Detroit one were great, and then the archives of just rando stuff that were pretty cool that they brought in Vegas was cool. And then we enjoy watching all the, like, fixer-uppers and, like, real estate shows when they fix up houses and stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty good. How young are you guys? Some are younger than others. Have you never seen Revenge of the Nerds? Bobcat is a legend. I didn't realize Bobcat was in Revenge of the Nerds. I have seen Revenge of the Nerds.
I didn't know Bobcat was in it, let alone that Bobcat was in there.
Yeah, I've seen it, but it was, like, 25 years ago. I didn't remember him in it.
He was in Blow? Bobcat was the guy who couldn't feel his face in Blow. Okay. All right, Bobcat. I was not familiar with your game. You were in Blow and Revenge of the Nerds? I sold you short. My bad, Bobcat. That's on me. Texter, everyone hating Carlos Mencia. Those are both good movies, though. Revenge of the Nerds. I prefer Blow more than Revenge of the Nerds. Probably recency bias there.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize he was in both of those things. Man, okay. I slept on him a little bit. I don't know about still. Like, that was kind of, well, I mean, he's on True TV. Like, is that relevant? No, I don't think so. I don't think he's relevant.
Yeah, okay. 'Cause that's,
right?
Yeah, my big thing was, like, I knew back then that he was relevant. I just didn't I hadn't heard his name in like a decade.
Okay. Now texts are saying that Bobcat was not in Revenge of the Nerds. He was in Police Academy. Now I'm going to have to – now, you know, y'all are annoying me now. Because now what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to IMDb this guy.
I remember
I'm
going to
have to IMDb.
Academy. Yeah, Police Academy. Steve Guttenberg. Yes. And the big guy that made all the noises and then the –
Yeah, I forget his name.
The sergeant that was the tough guy.
Yeah, because there was
– I was in a good mood. I was in a good mood, and now I'm not, because I'm having to IMDb, Bobcat Goldthwait. That is what you guys have made me do. And now I'm annoyed. I'm a bit annoyed now.
I understand it.
A little cranky.
I'm on his IMDb page now. He says he's known for God Bless America, Shakes the Clown, Scrooged, and Hercules, the animated movie in 1997. That's the best he's done. I thought he was in Blow. The texture lied to me, too.
Just knew him as like a
He's done a bunch of animated stuff. He's voiced a bunch of which is good.
Yeah, he's known for his
that's
voice.
That's good living. Bob's Burgers, he's been in that. Yeah, which is the animated stuff. I wouldn't know of his voice though.
Oh, it's very recognizable.
It really is. Yeah, if you do any of the audio where he's just doing the mumbling, screaming the all the time.
He hasn't been in a non-animated movie or show since 2013. Maroon, I don't even know how to pronounce that. Maron, M-A-R-O-N. How do you say that? Maron,
M-A-R-O-N.
Yeah,
Maron.
Maron? Well, that okay. might be Mark Maron, the comedian. He might have been on a show with him.
Oh, maybe. Maybe that wasn't even a. It says TV series, so maybe it was a sitcom for
Mark
a year.
Mark Maron had like a. I think he had like a sit down show based that launched off of the basis of his podcast, maybe.
He did an episode of CSI. That's funny that he did an episode of CSI.
Oh, and Bobcat is in Blow. I pulled up the IMDb for that movie. Yeah. He is in
01.
Blow. So
okay,
at least that
right.
part of it
Crank,
was correct.
Crank Yankers. He was in Crank Yankers. The best thing he's been in is Blow. But it looks like that was a very small role, huh?
Yeah,
Mad
that,
TV.
IMDb
oh, he was in Arliss.
Doesn't say what size role it was, but he was definitely in it.
He was in Arliss for one episode. He was in ER for one episode. Eh. I guess it's okay. I'll go meh. I'll go career, Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. I'll give him a 4.8 for his career.
I just think from the standpoint 4-8. That he stayed relevant as long as he did, then I
don't
wasn't
think
aware.
He's relevant.
Well, he was
not
stand-up,
relevant.
No, but he was a stand-up comedian as well, so he was doing his own thing on the comedy tour.
But I can tell by looking at him it's not good stand-up.
Okay.
Judge a book by its cover.
Like Sam Kinison? You look at Sam Kinison, could you tell that he was a good stand-up comedian?
I've never heard of Sam Kinison. Let me pull him up. No. I'll tell you if I think he's funny or not. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know faces better than names. Okay, I recognize the face.
Okay.
I wouldn't have known his name was Sam Kinison. Yeah, this guy probably – I've never heard his stand-up. Never heard Sam Kinison stand-up, though. I would say he's probably a 6'4 comedian just by the way he looks.
He's passed away now, and I don't know what he died of, but he looked like he was going to have a heart. He acted like he was going to have a heart attack on stage every time.
He looks a little carrot toppy to me. Is that accurate?
No, screamer,
no, he's
yeller,
not a pop guy. He's
off
a, yeah.
the handle tirade.
He's a like shock, a, kind of a shock
yes,
guy. Yeah.
Yes,
that's kind of carrot toppy. No,
no,
carrot
toppy.
He had the briefcase with the props and everything. It's a little
yeah.
different.
Carrot Toppy was kind of Gallagher-y.
I don't think
yeah.
I would like Kinison.
Yeah, Carrot was more
if he's screaming
yeah.
and yelling, I like
a lot of screaming and yelling.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like that. And I could tell that by his picture. That's why I gave him such a low mark. All right, whatever. 713-780-ESPN. Let's
and
go
Carlos
out to the
Mencia
HRP
is
listener
a
line.
Bit stealer.
Yes,
yeah,
he was.
That's kind of like
reputation.
Me. Well, I mean, I stole SVP's bit, so I have nothing
well,
to
talk about
here. You
at least didn't lie about here. It. Carlos passed it off as his own.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for defending me.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Alan, you're in the Hive. What's up, Alan?
Hey, not much. Hey, I remember back in the day, I think it was Bill Fitch inserted Robert Reed into that point, kind of unusual at the time. And not saying Jalen Green should be the point, but with the depth of the second, third, and fourth of our team, it just seems like something to try. What do you guys think?
So I didn't catch what he was the point in the first part, like Robert Reed, like what we're going to do a point forward or we're going to do a point
yeah,
guard
a little
by
more
committee.
Unconventional, maybe not a true.
I think
guard.
That's what I was alluding to that Ime, I think when his offense is clicking the way he wants it to, depending on how he's defended, I think that they want point guard by committee because they want to be an up tempo team. They want to get up and down the floor to where whoever gets the outlet pass takes it and runs with it. Guys fill the lanes, and that's how they judge their point guards as opposed to like half court offense, sets, and having guys that have to deal with, you know, pressure and such.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not I'm okay with unconventional point guard for the most part. Now, Blankers brings up the best point about the pressure. Like, I think Amid and Jalen both with a heavy ball pressure and a really good defender will struggle with that. Yeah. Now, maybe you can get away with that most nights because there's not a lot of guys that will do that to you. But I think that there are some guys in the league that could do it to you, and that would give those guys the trouble. I think that's where you would start to be like, eh, give me a better ball handler. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's make mock drafts great again. And today we do it with Mr. Lego Hair, Mel Kiper's Big Mock, making mock drafts great again with the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something that you're looking to make great again, your business. And that's near and dear to your heart. Look, your life depends on it. Your family's lives depend on you and your business. And if you're trying to take your business to the next level, if you're trying to elevate it, you need HR&P in your life. Mike Holla, U of H class of 1990. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. He's going to help you. He's going to help your family. He's going to help your business. HR&P provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. They're going to work with you, too, to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HR&P. You're not reading off a menu here. If you need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between, HR&P will create a plan for what your business needs. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Quick response, very easy to understand, very thankful. We use HR&P here at Gal. Look, let HR&P take on the demands of human resources, eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. But maybe you just need help in one of those things. Maybe you want to take the payroll off your plate because that's taking up way too much of your time. You need to be spending that time, energy, and resources in other parts of your business, growing it, making it, whatever it is. Let them do that. Maybe it's just HR compliance. Maybe it's all of those things. HR&P is going to help you. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or visit them online, hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.